Hello, beautiful beings. Welcome back to another episode of Superpowers of the Soul. I'm your host, Mordechai Kimberly Fenn, and I am so happy to be inside this powerfully inspiring episode all about the power of passion with our incredible guest, Jordan Halvorsen. Jordan is a 28-year-old female bull rider. Yes, you heard me right, a bull rider. A bull rider who has so far won 2 world championships, in fact. It has not been the easiest road, however. As I'm sure you can all imagine, along the way to fulfilling her dreams, Jordan almost lost her life in a bull riding accident in 2020. And it was during this darkest time in her life that she experienced God showing her that she had a much bigger purpose than she realized, and also giving her the passion to continue chasing her dream even after almost losing her life. Can you imagine? Today, she is a fierce advocate for the power of passion, and she shares her story in the hopes of inspiring others that whatever their passion may be, do not be afraid to get after it, no matter what that entails. She is an extremely brave and motivating woman, really dedicated to her desire to be a positive light in the world. And I'm so excited she's here and very eager to hear her story in full. So let's get her on. Jordan, sweetheart, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm so delighted. And I must say that I, for one, am very keen to hear more of your story. You know, as the bits and pieces I've already heard kind of give me chills, I'm very excited to hear the whole thing. But before we get deep into it, I'm just so curious. I mean, where on earth did this amazing desire of yours to ride bulls originally come from?
I mean, to be completely honest with you, it was never on my radar to be a female bull rider. I had actually just tried it one time to just kind of mark it off my bucket list and to say I did it, because I didn't know very many people that had rode a bull. And so I wanted to be one of those people at that time in my life to say that I had at least rode one. And then I fell in love and continued to try to be better at it.
How old were you when you had that experience? How amazing.
So I was 17 when I got on my first one. I wasn't technically even supposed to ride because my parents were definitely not going to let me. But I got on my first one, I was 17, and I really started chasing the dream after I graduated high school in 2013.
Wow. That is incredible. So you go to cross this thing off your bucket list. You just want to be, you know, one of these, a fairly rare person to have ridden a bull. You get on, and what did you fall in love with?
Just, you know, at first I fell off super quick, and I kind of thought to myself, like, I know I could stay on this thing a lot longer than that. You know, it was like less than 2 seconds. And I just, you know, kind of fell in love with like learning about it, like learning about the sport as a whole, because there's so many misconceptions about and around bull riding. And I just kind of fell in love with like the whole process, you know, the animals, like what goes into taking care of them. Like literally I just fell in love with it as a whole, along with like just the process of getting better and being good at the sport.
Wow. Exquisite. Absolutely exquisite. What is the longest you've stayed on a bull?
So you only have to stay on for 8 seconds. That's, you know, that's kind of the max time. I mean, I've been on bulls and rode them for longer than that, kind of on accident, but you only have to stay on. It's only required to stay on for 8 seconds.
Wow. Incredible. I bet that journey from 2 seconds to 8 seconds feels a lot longer than that. So many ways.
Yes. 8 seconds is a lot longer than you think it is.
Amazing. Well, Jordan, from falling in love so deeply at such a young age for something that was just something you were crossing off your bucket list, to the deep conviction and dedication and, you know, being lit up from within that we're going to get into in just a moment after the break here. Your story is exceptional. It's truly inspiring. Before we get into it, Jordan, before we cut to our break, where can people go to find out more about you and everything you're up to in the world? Where's the best place for them to go connect with you?
So all my handles are Jordan, Jorden 395. You know, that tag should get you anywhere on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I think I have it linked to all that
fabulous way. Okay, excellent. And we'll make sure those links are up on the show page for everybody. So you can just go there to click into Jordan Halverson's world. My goodness, what an inspiring world. All right, everyone, you are listening to Superpowers of the Soul here on the Superpower Network. We're going to take a short break and be right back to get deep into the power of passion with Jordan Halverson and hear her incredibly inspiring story when we return. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tonya Don Rekla, Director of Superpower Experts. If you're ready to activate your superpowers and turn your lifetime journey into the journey of a lifetime, go to superpowerexperts.com and get started today.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Amora Kai, and if you're just tuning in, today we are talking with Jordan Halverson about the power of passion. And so before the break, I briefly mentioned that on the way to achieving your epic bull riding dreams, you almost lost your life in a bull riding accident that ultimately ended up changing everything for you, though maybe not in the way you originally thought it might. Would you be willing to share your story and what happened with us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I've been riding bulls since 2013 and had already accomplished so many things. In 2018 was the first time that I won my women's bull riding world championship. And you know, I had been riding bulls for a while at this point, but when I came into 2020, I was getting ready to go to a bull riding, you know, much like I do every other time I go to a bull riding, but things were a little bit different this time, you know, leading up to the day that I went to this bull riding, and I was seeing this guy and you know how all that kind of stuff goes. Well, the night before I go to a bull riding, COVID had actually started canceling some rodeos, you know, COVID, mm-hmm. that terrible dark time. And mm-hmm. This happened on Friday, and, you know, COVID had started to shut some places down. And, you know, I went and I practiced, I rode really good. Well, me and my ex at the time, you know, started fighting all night and I didn't sleep very well. And I might have had drank some and I don't normally do. And I was headed to a bull riding the next day, you know, kind of checking to make sure it wasn't going to get canceled with COVID. Well, I'm going to this bull riding and I'm taking Motrin and I'm doing all these things. And I get to the rodeo and I just kind of, I'm there and I'm not really in it. You know, like you have to want to ride bulls for one. Like, it's a pretty crazy thing. But I just remembered that I wasn't really feeling it that day. And I should have probably not gotten on, but I did anyway. Something told me that I needed to ride. And I got on and I came off pretty quick and this bull just kind of stepped on me. Nothing crazy. Literally have been in way worse situations than this bull. And when he stepped on me, he actually lacerated my liver. And at the time, I did not realize that. I thought I hurt my collarbone. Out of all things, like I thought I hurt my collarbone. Oh my. And I kind of roll over and I can't really get up, which is not normal for someone like me, because I've always thought about leaving the arena on my own two feet. Like, I just, well, this time was different. Like, I rolled over and I realized I couldn't get up, and the EMS came out there and they, you know, helped me out and they put me on a stretcher and they load me in the ambulance. Well, by the time they get me in the ambulance, my stomach has bubbled over with blood and I'm still complaining about my collarbone. Like, that's all I care about is my collarbone, not the internal situation that's going on inside me. Well, we get to the hospital and I'm sitting there, they do the CT scans, I've got pain medicine, and I realize, you know, I'm like, all right, my collarbone's good, I'm good to go, you know. So they come in, they tell me that I've lacerated my liver, which is an injury that I have actually sustained before. It just was only a grade 2, which means there's no surgery. There's like, it's like an overnight, like they make sure the bleeding stops and then they send you home. So they tell me I've lacerated my liver and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to be out of here first thing in the morning, you know, like no big deal. Well, as I'm waiting for them to come tell me that, or what I think that they're going to tell me, the blood pressure cuff on my arm is no longer able to pick up my blood pressure. I'm internally bleeding so bad that my blood pressure has dropped. So a doctor and a student nurse come in. They're like, all right, hey, look, like, your blood pressure has dropped. We need to stick this needle that's in your artery in your wrist so we can keep track of your blood pressure. Like, it's going to hurt pretty bad. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's going to be fine. So they start sticking me and they can't find it. They stick me about 10 times, I think, trying to find this artery in my wrist. And about on the 10th time, the student was like, I would like to try one more time. And I just kind of looked at over at them and I was like, I just like it if y'all quit, you know? And about the time I said that, a surgeon walked in holding two bags of blood and was like, you guys need to stop. We got to get this girl back to the OR right now or else she's going to die. And so they just wheel me back there, like, don't have time to really get me sedated or anything. Like, they cuff me to the bed. And like, I physically see them cut my stomach open. And I see their hands go in. And at that moment, everything goes bright. And it is just bright. And I remember I had no emotions. I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. I just had nothing. Like, I just felt no pain. And I was just there in this bright light. And off in the distance, I could see a figure standing there. And I remembered saying, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And I woke up. And this was now 3 days later. They had medically induced me into a coma after my first surgery because they thought I was going to need a liver transplant because a greater than grade 5 lacerated liver means that I had destroyed more than 75% of my liver.
Wow.
Well, the first hospital that I was at wasn't a big trauma center. I mean, all they did was go in there and just try to stop the bleeding. And then they shipped me off to another hospital. Well, they had blindly kind of packed my liver so well that they had saved just enough tissue for my liver to regenerate on its own. And I didn't need the liver transplant, which was very crazy in itself just because of how bad the liver injury was, that I didn't need a liver transplant. And I remembered, you know, like, at first, when I'm on the ventilator and stuff, like, everyone's asking me if I'm going to ride bulls. And I just remember at that point saying, no, I'm not going to, you know, like, that was my first answer. But that was just because, like, I was thinking about the guy that I was dating at the time. And I knew he wasn't going to want me to, even though, like, he ends up cheating on me and breaking up with me while I'm in the hospital for the 2 weeks that I'm there. If matters can't get any worse, I'm now heartbroken and in the hospital. And, you know, like, at first my mom was like, are you going to ride bulls? Well, like, the moment that all that went down, when I found out about him doing all those things and us breaking up, I remember my mom asking me again because she knew. She kept asking me. She was like, so do you think you're done riding bulls? I was like, I think if I told you right now that I was to never get on a bull again, we'd both know I was lying. And it was like this weird change of events while I was in the hospital that all of a sudden that I was like, you know what? Like, I all of a sudden just had this passion to want to get on bulls again. And it was like the craziest thing because the whole time I'm in the hospital, it's not a fun deal. Like, they're coming in here and they're doing shots in my belly every couple hours to make sure as a blood thinner to make sure I'm not getting blood clots. And like, you know, I can't go to the bathroom by myself, but like, I like, as time went on in the hospital, like, I just kind of started thinking like, all right, like, what do I got to do to get back to getting on kind of thing. And that's when, like, I realized that, you know, I felt like God had a bigger purpose for me in life because, like, I mean, it was so easy for him to just call me home right then. Like, I was there. Like, I mean, he could have easily been like, all right, we're going home, you know, like, this is it. I mean, but, you know, he didn't. And I mean, it's just so hard to think that he didn't have a bigger purpose. And then, like, after I got out of the hospital, I think I was only like 3 months from this that I started getting back on bulls again. And like, it was just different this time. Like, you know, I had this just burning desire to want to get back to riding bulls good and like being just a positive light in the world, because like social media, it's so 50-50, you know, it's so, there's so many people out there that are wanting to influence you in the wrong directions. And I never want to be that. Like, I want to be an example for like what I would want my potential daughter growing up seeing, like modesty and strength and, you know, being passionate for the things that you love in life. And so it was like, so then like, then 6 months after my wreck, I ended up coming to Texas and filming a show for Netflix, which where I really got to like share my passion and share the things that I had been doing and are continuing to do. And so like, it just really showed me that God had given me this purpose and this plan, and that it just kind of came full fruition. And it was just, it's just so cool, I guess.
Wow. Sweetheart, what an experience. I can only imagine what that would have been like for you. I mean, you may have heard the term some people use when they're in the depths of sort of despair in their life or having the hardest time, and they call it the dark night of the soul. Have you heard that expression before?
I hadn't.
That feels to me like that's exactly what you described in that hospital, where every possible thing, it was, I mean, at the emotional level, the physical level, the mental level, I can only imagine. It's everything, everywhere, all at once. And your experience with the light and the decision, it felt like very much a decision on your part, a conviction on your part to really stay here and really be here. I love that you're out of all of that, what emerged is you are such a stand for passion and for being a bright light in the world, rather than, you know, some might say going home to that bright light that you experienced. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And so, you know, I have so many questions, but what would you say to someone, you know, who with all the gusto, right, who went wholeheartedly after a dream of theirs, in the best way they knew how at the time, as we all do, that just got crushed? You know, maybe they got crushed physically in some way, like your experience, or relationally with other people, or financially, or emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, they got crushed. And maybe they're still there in some way, you know, maybe they're still in the depths of some of that despair or the grief about it, you know, maybe what they went to realize, they're not going to be able to realize it in the same way, if at all. Like, let's say they haven't quite gotten back on the bull yet, as it were, right? What would you say to someone who's there right now?
I would tell someone to not give up hope. I mean, you've got to let your passion speak for what you want. And, you know, you need to, I would tell them to look into all their options. Like, you know, There's no dead end, I believe. I believe there's no dead end. And I believe that, like, if there's something out there that you want, you have to show that you want it bad enough that you're willing to do those things. And you just got to dig down deep inside yourself and really just, you know, think about forward motion. Like, that's one thing we talk about in bull riding. Like, you need to always be moving forward. And you can't let any thing, you know, like, everything's a building block, you know, some blocks are smaller than others, but you need to, like, I would tell them to, like, just keep moving forward and keep finding those little building blocks. Even if they're little, they're still a building block. And just to keep building a foundation or building that house, you know, in your head, like, that this is where I want to go and this is what I want to do. And I got to have the passion to keep seeking out those little blocks to keep moving forward.
I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. And let's dial in a little bit deeper on passion, because, you know, not everybody has the kind of passion that you're experiencing and you're displaying. However, I think it's a safe guess that most of us seek it. Most of us desire it. Most of us want to have it. For someone who doesn't currently have the level of passion you have towards someone, what would you say to them in regards to discovering that for themselves?
You know, I think everyone, like when they want to find that passion, like I think everyone kind of gets these ideas in their head about like these different things they want to try, you know, because mm-hmm. like that's where it kind of starts, you know, like I just happened to try bull riding. I never grew up having the passion for bull riding. Like I didn't even know that I was going to like bull riding. And I think people get these little ideas in their head that like, man, I would like to try that. And I think you just got to go out there and try it, because then that's where your passion then builds for it. Cause you're like, man, like I really enjoyed that. Like that brought a lot of, you know, excitement to my life. And you know, like you just can't have enough of it. So I think you can't be afraid to go out and try those little things or do certain things to then find out what you're truly passionate for. Because, you know, like I said, like I had no idea that I was going to love bull riding, like at all. Like I just went out and tried it. And I think you can't be afraid to just try something, because like you already have this idea in your head that that's something you want to do, you know, because like it's on your radar. But you just got to go out there and try it, because and then that'll fuel your passion to want to continue to grow. And like, I really enjoy the process. Like, I love the process of getting back on bulls after taking a break. And I'm super passionate about, you know, like the care it goes into taking care of livestock. And those were things that grew over time, because I tried this one thing. So right. I think you just got to be. You got to go out there and try the things that you've thought about and let the passion grow kind of naturally. Like you got to just immerse yourself in it once you realize like, man, I kind of like this, you know? And I think that's how passion grows in people.
Well, I really love that you're making that point about the growth factor, because I do find that sometimes we might tend to think of it as more of an explosion that just happens instantaneously and you're taken over and, oh, that's it. Whereas, and I think sometimes that we don't really allow ourselves the space and the grace to simply try things, as you are so brilliantly recommending that we do and reminding us. If you look at little children running around, they try everything. And boy, right. do they immediately know, I like that. I don't like that. I want to do that again. I want to do it this way now. Now I want to try it like this. Or, you know, I'm just not interested in that at all. And I think there's maybe a natural inclination there that perhaps gets a little suppressed or dumbed down or contained or restrained as we grow older. And, you know, for whatever reason, doesn't really matter. But I wonder if that's a natural part of ourselves that we would do well to reconnect with and allow to let loose a little bit in the way that you're describing, that maybe we don't as we grow older so much.
Yeah. Cause I think as you grow, you know, you get more responsibilities as an adult. I mean, kids, you know, like that's a great example too. Like kids will go out there and just try everything. And when you're an adult, like you have a lot more, you know, you begin to have a lot more things on the line, but that doesn't mean that like, you know, maybe you pick five little things that you want to try, you know, like there's just always, I feel like there's just always something that you can do that you could become passionate about. Like it doesn't even have to be the biggest thing. Like, you know, maybe you become more involved. Like, for example, my dad is very passionate for community service. He does a lot of community service, and that is something he has become very passionate about in his older age. He did not used to do that when he was younger. Like he got to witness some community service through us from us growing up in 4-H, but he is now very immersed and he is very passionate about giving back to the community. So it doesn't even have to be something that's like physically like, you know, beating your body up like I'm doing, because that's what Warren does. But you know, like he gives his time on the weekends, you know, or he gives his time where he can, and he's very passionate about it. And he's very passionate about connecting other people to help with community service. And there's just so many things that like you wouldn't think you would quote unquote need this passion for, but you really do. And then you really don't think about how you're going to be passionate about something. And it's something that might have just started off so simple becomes and grows into a big, beautiful picture.
Mm. I love the picture you're painting around that, no pun intended. But I also really like the point you made about as we grow older and our responsibilities grow. And I also think there might be a connection between, you know, people seeking their passion or wishing to feel more passionate or excited about their lives. And because so much of our lives are as we grow older, taken up in terms of time by, you know, creating income for ourselves and earning our living, as it were, sometimes we almost are seeking our passion in our livelihood. And if something doesn't correlate immediately, even if it becomes that over time, to our livelihood as something that creates passion in us, I think that we don't give it as much attention as it deserves sometimes. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
because we're so tied up in it. But I think that whether your passion ever makes money or not, I still think it's correlated in that the more you are alive with passion, no matter where it stems from, that's going to definitely bleed over into all the areas of your life and your, you know, whatever you do for money or in your family or in your friendships will only benefit. And sometimes those passions do turn into your livelihood, if not immediately, then over time.
Right. Cause I've always kind of lived my life. Cause like boring takes up a lot of like time and effort and energy and money. But yeah. I always kind of in the beginning, I always said that I would much rather be broke being happy doing the things I love than to be financially successful hating everything I do. I mean, and I wish more people could live their lives like that. And I know it's not, I guess, they say it's not possible. I think anything's possible as long as you're willing to put your mind to it. But I've always lived my life like, you know, like I don't need to be a millionaire. Like I don't have to be a millionaire. As long as my bills are paid and I'm able to continue to do the things I love, that's all that matters because I can't take it with me when I'm gone.
You are so wise, Jordan. So wise and so dedicated. I mean, you're such a lovely being and you're so brave. My goodness, you are so brave. I just adore you. You know, I love that you're out sharing your story now. I love that you're willing to share it and inspire others with it. I think that when we discover things for ourselves, it's a contribution to everybody else to share what we've discovered. I really believe in that common thread. If in your own mind, in your own heart, what results are you ultimately seeking for people as you do, you know, share your story and encourage others to keep after their own passions, no matter what?
For me, I want people to live their life to the fullest and not allow their own struggles and their own demise, you know, hurt them in the long run. I would love to see people just going out there, working hard and going after the things that they care for the most in life, whether it's something small, what might be small to someone might be big to someone else. And I would hope people will go out there and like realize that no matter what it is in life, you know, they go after it. Because I've been told I shouldn't ride bulls and I don't need ride bulls because I'm a girl and all this other stuff. But it doesn't matter because I love it. And, you know, that's what I want to do. And it's something that I am very passionate for. So I would hope those people will go out there and find those little things or big things that they're passionate about. And just do whatever it takes to be happy in life.
What a world we would live in, hey? Can you imagine the collective frequency of that vibration?
That would be cool.
That would be cool. I would love to live in that world. Let's do that. You know, one of the things that strikes me the most about you and the world at large is you seem to have unlocked the code to courage in many ways. And everything that I hear you talking about in your experiences, but even just all of that aside, the very act of bull riding, I mean, does your body not give off warning signals before you step on, before you got on the first time? Is there something, you know, that you need to bring to your body and mind to make yourself get onto that bull and take this ride? Do you have to overcome? I mean, we talk about courage and bravery as acting in the face of fear, not the absence of fear. And we know that the body has its own decisions, right? Its own feelings, its own survival instincts, as it were. And oftentimes we need to override that if we want to do something that is dangerous to the body. Just what is your experience moving through that in something like bull riding?
In bull riding, you know, like, you do definitely mentally have to be tough, because at the end of the day, no matter what kind of bull you get on, no matter how big or how small he is, that animal can and will kill you. Like, it is, there's no, I mean, maybe not on purpose, but they could accidentally step on you, because that's what kind of happened to me. That bull didn't mean to step on me, but he did.
Yeah.
So, like, you mentally have to just be tough. Like, you have to put that all aside, you know, like, you have to be focused on the task at hand, and that's riding that animal for 8 seconds, regardless of how big he is, what he's going to do, how mean or how nice, you know, like, you definitely have to put yourself mentally in this state that, like, I'm going to conquer this animal, and that's all I'm going to do. You know, like, that's, you have to, like, move past every other fear. I might break my leg, I might break my arm, I might get knocked out. You know, you got to put that all aside you. And, you know, like, in the beginning, it's kind of easy to look past all that because you haven't actually experienced it yet.
Yeah.
But once you experience, like, the littlest injury or a big injury, you know, like, it's coming back from those that really, you know, shows that courage and that mental toughness of, like, all right, like, they got me down, but I'm back. I'm stronger. I've been working out. You know, like, you've got to, like, remember all those things and just mentally be there to be like, all right, we're going to stay in the middle. Because if you stay in the middle, they can't throw you off, you know? So.
Wow. Wow. There's so much in that, Jordan. So there's really no time to be monkeying around with thoughts of the future or thoughts of the past. You need to be dialed into this now present moment with a laser focus on what you've decided for yourself, not all the what ifs around what could happen. So you're really lasering in on what you're doing right here, right now, what you've decided that you want most. And I even love the sitting in the middle. I mean, that really speaks to the balance that you need to have as you traverse this. And I love that you spoke to how easy it is in the beginning when we're innocent, right? We don't have any experience telling us otherwise. It's so much easier to do those things. But once you have a painful experience, once you've fallen off, as it were, or broken something, it's really, really extra challenging to go back in with that Zen mind, that beginner mind. You have to cultivate it for yourself, right? Against something really, really, really powerful. Do you have to overcome nerves before you get on? Does your body give you nerves or anxiety or anything that you have to overcome in order to?
I think it depends on the situation at hand, because, like, there have been some bulls that I've gotten on that I wasn't nervous or really had any kind of thoughts like that. But then there have been some where, like, I was maybe had a little bit more butterflies in my stomach than I normally would. And maybe because I'm getting on a bull I don't know or might know he's a little bit meaner, or I know he's going to buck harder, or just little things. But you try to, like, every time I go to get on, and I always say this prayer, you know, but I always ask God to give me the passion, the desire, and the fire to ride every bull at hand. And I ask him to calm my nerves and to give me mental clarity as I climb down. And, you know, usually after I say those words to him and I ask him for that, you know, that clarity of mind, all that goes away. And all I'm focused about is riding that bull. So.
Wow. Astounding. Astounding, my dear. You are so inspiring. You really are. I appreciate so much about you. And I feel like you are such a living walking, talking embodiment of all you're talking about. Number one, you really walk your talk, but you're also such a living model of what it means to live with passion and you're so clear on the tools and the techniques and the strategies that you need to have on hand, that you need to be living, right, and adhering to day after day in order to keep going in this direction that is so important to you. And you have such an easy way of clarifying it for others. I really, really appreciate you. And what you've been through, it's just astounding. You know, I feel like as a mom, I just need to have a huge shout out to your parents. I mean, they sound really supportive of you. Is that true?
Somewhat. My mom definitely didn't support me in the beginning. Yeah. She didn't support me for a long time. My dad was definitely my biggest supporter. He actually let me build a little arena in his front yard and have bulls at his house so I could practice as much as I could. But my mom had never watched me ride a bull in person until I went on the Netflix show. And then she kind of made a joke like, oh, well, if you get a season two, you know, maybe I'll come watch you. And I told her, I was like, no, you got to watch me in person before that happens.
I can't imagine how terrifying it would be for her. I'm just sitting here as a mom thinking of how much I want to support all my children's dreams, but some of them I don't know if I could bear to watch. Oh my goodness. Well,
she learned pretty early on that, you know, she wasn't going to be able to convince me out of it. I had actually broke my jaw one time about 40 minutes from my house. Well, she lived about 5 minutes from a hospital. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just drive to that hospital because it's only 5 minutes from the house. I thought I dislocated my jaw. I didn't know it was broken.
Okay.
Well, she calls me and she is fussing at me the whole drive to the house. And she's like, you know, fussing at me for riding bulls. And now that I'm hurt. And well, when we got to the hospital, I was over 18 and she meets me there because it's only 5 minutes from our house and she's still fussing at me and they call me back and she goes to stand up with me to go. And I look at the nurse. I was like, I don't want her back there. And I went back there by myself. And then she's like calling and texting me. I was like, look, you can come back here, but I don't want to hear one word about me riding bulls. And so that was, so it was kind of, that's, I think when she learned that, like, there was going to be nothing, I guess that was going to stop me, because that wasn't even like my first injury. Sure. It might have been like the third or fourth. So, so I was really just getting tired of hearing it all the time because, like, I knew I wasn't going to stop. And I knew that that's part of it. Getting hurt is, it's not when, or it's not if, it's when and how bad.
Right.
And so I just kind of like, I knew I was going to continue to do it. And I just had to show, like, I needed to show her that I was like, all right, look, we're going to, I'm going to continue to keep doing this. So you're either going to like not say a word about it or you're going to support me. And she's definitely more supportive now. I think she's really gotten to see how much passion I have for it. And with passion comes hard work and dedication and really spending the time to be the best that I can be at it. And that, you know, that helps mitigate risks to a degree. And, you know, it's not, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, but I've bounced back from every injury fine. So I don't know why she gets so worked up over it.
Oh, well, I do. It comes with the mom thing. I swear. It's something that infiltrates your blood, your hormones, your everything. And also, I think that, you know, in all fairness, it's so much harder, like, for someone who is in your shoes, who is in your skin, who is as convicted as you are, and is in the know that it's not a matter of if you'll get hurt, as you said, it's a matter of when and how bad. There's a different experience of going through the hurt than there is of someone who loves you so dearly watching you go through that. And what that does to them. Those are two very different experiences, I would imagine. And so I totally get that. So yeah, bowing deeply to all of you as you all traverse that. Listen, just before we begin to wrap up here today, you mentioned the Netflix special. What's the name of it? Where can we go watch you on that?
So it's on Netflix and it's called How to Be a Cowboy.
Okay, fabulous. And it's season one, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, beautiful. Jordan, you are such a treat. You know, of all the things we discussed today, are there any final thoughts you feel inspired to share before we begin to wrap up?
Just that if there's any ounce of you that has a want to do something, go out and try it, because you never know when it turns into a passion of yours.
Absolutely brilliant. So freeing and so accessible. Every one of us can do that, can't we? Absolutely. Yeah. Jordan, what an inspiration you are. Thank you so much for coming on today, for sharing your brave and beautiful story with us all. I just wish you so many blessings along your journey from here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute delight, sweetheart. And thank you, dear listeners, for being here with us as well. As always, I hope this episode serves your highest possible good. It inspires you to connect with the power of passion to keep chasing after your deepest dreams, no matter what life may throw at you along the way. Until next time, may your own superpowers of the soul shine bright in a world that so profoundly needs your light. Much love and many blessings to you all.